This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. How does coal ash affect human health? A new review of existing research shows a link between living close to a coal power plant or coal ash pond and higher risks of certain diseases or medical conditions. The list of conditions includes premature mortality, cardiovascular diseases, and poor child health. The research does not draw a direct link between these diseases and coal ash, but it does cause concern about the 14 coal ash sites in North Carolina. Julia Kravchenko and Kim Lyerly are with me now. Julia Kravchenko is a professor of surgery at Duke University. Kim Lyerly, a professor of surgery, immunology, and pathology, and the director of the Environmental Health Scholars Program at Duke. Welcome back to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Julia, talk about this, because essentially you use the existing research on coal ash, right, and pulled some of that together and reviewed it. Talk about the reasons for that.
So, actually, there are not so many, first of all, there are not so many publications on health impacts of living in close proximity to coal-burning power plants in the United States. So our main idea was to collect all available right now information, all studies for the United States. And we found some very nice publications, and we looked at this information, and what we see that there is increased risk of premature mortality, high total mortality, infant mortality, high risk of respiratory diseases, including lung cancer, high risk of cardiovascular diseases, myocardial infarction and stroke, and also a high risk of cognitive dysfunction. And it starts as early as in childhood.
These are individual papers. You said you found some very good ones all around the country. How far back do they go?
We analyzed over 20 years period. So that doesn't mean that it reflects the most current situation for 2018, because you need some time to collect the data, to perform analysis, to publish this data, and then to look together for several publications together, like doing the review. So we hope that by now situation, at least in some areas, looks better. But what we can tell that what's happening over 20 years.
Well, Kim Lyerly, talk about the value of this review. Is there anything that you found in aggregating this research and analyzing the aggregate results that didn't show up and sort of blink red in any of the individual reports?
Yeah, thanks, Frank, for bringing that up. And I would like to point out that about 4 years ago, Julia and I had published a study that evaluated the improving health in North Carolina as a result of the Clean Smokestacks Act. And that resulted in a reduction in the pollutants produced by coal-fired power plants. And over the entire state, we saw significant reductions in deaths from emphysema, asthma, and pneumonia. We then began to think about the state of North Carolina, which is quite complicated from the western to the eastern seaboard, and realized that perhaps a more detailed view of the different regions affected by air quality would be important. And so we set upon this review to identify general health effects beyond the respiratory diseases, and found diseases such as cardiovascular disease and stroke being highly associated not only with air pollutants, but some of the elements from coal-fired power plants, such as the coal ash. And to me, the most striking observation was the level of radioactivity found in the coal ash impoundments. Heavy metals, radioactivity, compounds that we know are associated with chronic diseases that I think many people may not be aware of.
And your other study, the study that you were talking about initially, was taking a look at how government regulation had improved our air quality. That rule, the Clean Smokestacks rule passed here in North Carolina, did some good. What about with coal ash now? Is the problem air pollution or water pollution or both? How do we come in contact with it?
So actually, they're both. But air quality aspect of associations with health hazards are more well studied. So you can see more in publications related to air quality and predominantly its particulate matters associated with coal burning power plants. But also there is another story which is very important for North Carolina residential populations living near the coal ash ponds. And that's water contamination and soil contamination. And we cannot find direct studies on health impact specifically focused on water and soil contamination, but it's definitely should be the future study direction, especially in North Carolina populations, because we have issues with coal ash ponds here in North Carolina.
And you did find a higher rates or higher risks of these disease around coal ash ponds, even though we can't make the direct link. But what is the link? Is there, Kim is talking about higher levels of radiation. Do they correlate at all with the higher risks, the diseases that you found around coal ash ponds?
So actually, there were no studies on associations of radiation, radionuclides exposure for populations living near coal ash ponds and the health of residential populations. And for this kind of exposure, you need to have a pretty long latency period to tell about certain disease risk. And when we're talking about radiation exposure, we're predominantly thinking about cancer risk, first of all, and then probably radiation contribution for cardiovascular diseases. But these studies have not been performed yet, nor in North Carolina, nor in the United States. So right now, the main focus of analysis is predominantly particulate matters and heavy metals. And one of the heavy metal, like arsenic, for example, a very important component of many health risks in residential populations. And one of important aspects that could be one of the focus of future studies is impact on cognitive function of arsenic. Because one of the hypotheses of, for example, Alzheimer's disease is exposure to arsenic. So we need to focus also on this direction, and especially because other researchers, other research teams in other areas of the United States reported increased risk of cognitive dysfunction in kids.
In these areas?
In the areas surrounding the coal-burning power plants. So that could be another important topic that we need to pay attention and here in North Carolina too.
Well, I want to talk, bring in another party to our conversation right now. Richard Kinch is a member of the National Ash Management Advisory Board. That's an independent body that advises Duke Energy. He formerly worked on coal ash issues with the Environmental Protection Agency, and he joins us now. Richard Kinch, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
You've studied this for a while. You're now advising Duke Energy on this, who is responsible for the coal ash ponds and, of course, the coal-burning plants. What do you make of this study now, this review of the study that shows this correlation between higher risk of these diseases around ponds and plants?
Well, I was involved with coal ash studies at EPA for a long time. I basically had a 41-year career with EPA. And one of the things that you notice over such a long period of time is things have changed in the environment, that there's a lot more in the way of pollution controls, whether they're water controls, air controls, things have changed. So with some of the impacts, it may be reflective of the lack of as sophisticated technologies as we have controlling pollution nowadays. So I think that's kind of one important aspect to look at. With regard to water pollution, the critical aspects that the agency would look at is whether there are drinking water wells that are contaminated or whether receiving streams have had water quality impacts. The situation for drinking water wells is that most of these ponds are placed right next to surface water bodies, and the groundwater flows from the pond towards the surface water body, and there do not tend to be drinking water wells in that strip of land. There is a continuous discharge that goes to the receiving stream, and that is regulated under the Clean Water Act. Now, while the solid waste aspects are part of a recent regulation by EPA in 2015, water quality has been something that the agency and states have been addressing for several decades. And so facilities would have to have an MPDS permit approved for having any kind of discharge from the pond to the receiving stream. And whether there are things that people have missed and somebody sees particular issues that need to be identified, maybe that is something that could be done with further studies. As a general matter, with regard to water quality isn't a industry-specific issues. You may set up industry-specific issues for the coal ash industry, but if you look at water quality, people will look at constituents, whether it's arsenic or some other constituent, and determine whether the levels that are in the water exceed what are acceptable for that stream.
All right, well, I'm going to bring in another member of our panel right now. Avner Van Gosh is a professor of water quality and geochemistry at Duke University's Nicholas School of the Environment, and he joins us now. Avner, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about this, because what you heard Richard Kinch just say is, you know, there's a lot of sources for this stuff. Talk about coal ash, what's in it, and how it gets into our environment.
Sure. So coal ash contains a lot of contaminants, and during the combustion of coal, many of them are being retained, absorbed into a very tiny particles that becoming fly ash and bottom coal ash. And the high level of those contaminants, including radium, which is radioactive heavy metal, are being transported and becoming part of the largest industrial waste of solid waste in the United States. And about half is being recycled, and about half is being disposed either as coal ash ponds and landfills as a dry coal ash. Now, the risk of the really issues here, that there's no question that coal ash contains really high level of contaminants. The real question is how those contaminants could reach and affect human health, and what are the mechanism of pathways of exposure. And that's kind of a topic that my group at Duke has been investigating quite intensively. We have developed isotopic and geochemical fingerprint that allowed us to identify the coal ash and its impact into the environment. And we have shown that indeed streams and rivers and lakes in North Carolina that receiving effluent from coal ash ponds are highly contaminated. The fact that it's regulated, it doesn't mean that we don't have a problem. We do see contamination of streams that are being directly discharged, being affected by discharge of effluents. And in addition, we conducted a study of all the Southeast United States and demonstrated groundwater underlying coal ash and coal ash ponds showing severe contamination from coal ash. So we do know to do the distinction between naturally occurring contaminants that we know exist in North Carolina and contaminants that come directly from coal ash.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you have used this template of yours, this ability to distinguish that which comes from other sources and other industries, as Richard Kinn suggested. There's a lot of people who are polluting our water. You've used this template for distinguishing that which comes from coal ash and that which comes from other, for exonerating coal ash in a couple of cases when people thought it was coal ash in their well, and you were able to say, no, that wasn't the culprit.
Yes, so we studied the occurrence of exovanin chromium that previously was thought to be derived from coal ash, and we demonstrated, at least in the wells that we investigated in some areas in North Carolina, that exovanin chromium is in fact naturally occurring. And the problem is actually more problematic because we see exovanin chromium all over the state, so we have a serious problem we need to deal with, specifically for people with private wells that need to deal with that. But the fact that in the same time, we do see that shallow groundwater underlying coal ash ponds are contaminated.
And what about the Richard Kinn saying, I'd like you to address this point he made, which is that there's not that much in terms of well water around these coal ash ponds that it all sort of drains out into our waterways. Is that okay? Is the fact that it's in our waters and streams, these contaminants, that better for us?
Well, so the point is that the 2015 EPA regulation enforced the industry to conduct monitoring and to know what's going on in groundwater underlying coal ash pond. Right now, the new EPA administration has taken back and set back those regulations. And in fact, we don't know what's going to be. So people are living next to the coal ash ponds and next to landfills. Basically, given this new regulation of the EPA, they don't know what's in the water. So we conducted some study which looking at exovanin chromium, but really there is a risk for people without the information and without the ability to know if a coal ash contaminant have arrived to the wells. And I would see, if you look at the maps, there are thousands of people living next to coal ash ponds. So the fact that it is a problem.
Richard Kinch, this does argue, you talked about the fact that there have been improvements made both in management and in regulation that have to some degree, in your mind, mitigated the risk. But this does argue for robust state and federal regulation, monitoring, and information, more not less, would you say?
Well, I think people have imposed substantially more regulations, so I think that is in place. So I'm not denying that there are risks. There are risks that need to be addressed. In my background, by the way, just very quickly, I dealt with hazardous waste, and I dealt with a whole series of various industrial waste. And well, coal ash certainly has high enough concentrations to pose risk in the scheme of comparable industrial waste that I've dealt with. It is on the low side. But the volumes are so great that in part is a significant factor in how risks are imposed.
But, I just want to ask Avner if he feels that regulation, I thought what I heard you say is that we've come back, that we've actually rolled back some of the regulation. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So the EPA just recently set back their own regulation for monitoring and taking out a contaminating coal ash pond. So there were the 2015 regulation that the EPA made was kind of a compromise. It did not define coal ash as hazard waste as many as professional community was thought it should be, but rather found some kind of a compromise level that will do some kind of a monitoring of groundwater underlying a coal ash disposal units.
I want to thank all of you for being on our program. Avner Venghosh, who is a water quality geochemistry professor at Duke. Also, Julia Kravchenko and Dr. Kim Lyerly, a professor of surgery at Duke University. Dr. Lyerly, a professor of surgery and immunology and pathology. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you to Richard Kinch, a member of the National Ash Management Advisory Board. There's more of the state of things just ahead. Please stay tuned.